Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to Negro Please Radio. I'm your host, Chris Allen. How you doing? And as usual, thank you. I thank you guys so much for taking the time out to listen to me every week. It means a lot to me. I really, really appreciate it. So please keep listening, keep sharing. Please keep telling your friends about the podcast, man. It's really growing, and I appreciate all the help. So what's been going on with me? I have three mics that I'm running now, which is pretty cool. You know, I want to thank the people that are trusting me to run these shows. So I have one at this place called Fellini's Downtown. It's a really cool, small, like, speakeasy type bar. It seats about 25. And, of course, I'm doing the Southern once a month. Fellini's is once a month. And recently, a friend of mine, Drew, wanted me to take over his room in Harrisonburg, Virginia, at this place called The Artful Dodger, which is a really cool spot. So, and then my boy TJ and I are running another show at another local spot called the Double Horseshoe Saloon, a little gritty, smoky bar. I think I mentioned last week, we did our first show there and it was a huge hit. So I'm very happy and thankful that I have all these shows right now going on, trying to help the scene grow here. And hopefully we can keep them going and help them grow. But, I'm thinking about getting rid of my website. I don't really use it. I feel like most people don't even go to websites anymore to check on stuff like comedy dates and all that kind of crap. So First of all, my website looks like shit, and I just don't maintain it like I should. And I don't like it. I think that's really the main reason why I want to get rid of it, is because I hate it. I hate my website so much. So right now, I've taken it down, and I'm just going to go to Tumblr and post all my dates there. Because right now, I just use Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter to pump my shows. So I was like, you know what, let me go on Tumblr, create a little small blog page and just do it from there. It just seems a lot easier. I feel like more people use that type of stuff now than just really going to websites. So if there's anybody who's into social media or marketing or anything like that, please let me know what you think about that idea. So a lot of stuff has been going on lately, man. It's crazy, man. It is insane the amount of gun violence that goes on in this country. It's insane. And unfortunately, we look at all gun violence differently. So I don't think we'll ever find a real solution when it comes to gun violence in America. It's just every, I don't know. Depending on who does the crime, you know, everything just kind of gets put into its own category. And nothing is looked at as a whole. And at the end of the day, it's just like, hey, we can't prevent this stuff, so we're just going to let it go. But I had an email, and the email asked me, how would I feel if my wife kept a secret from me? And this is kind of pertaining to the whole Charlie Sheen thing, where he has HIV, and someone was saying, how would I feel if my spouse or significant other ever revealed a secret like that to me? And all I can say, I'll be extremely pissed off that they would do that to me. Even if my wife was like, hey, I'm actually pretty rich, I have a trust fund, I got $15 million in the bank, I'll be pissed off. Like, he let us struggle for years, and, you know, damn it, I saved money for plane tickets and all that kind of shit where we could have been using that money. But I guess it also depends on what it was. Now, she told me something that she felt like she couldn't have told me years ago or something, or she was uncomfortable. I would just be disappointed in myself that, you know, that maybe she saw something in me that she felt like she couldn't tell me. I'm like, damn, you know, for my wife to do that, I would be upset. But other than that, if it wasn't something of that nature, I would just be kind of pissed off that She didn't tell me. So, yeah, two reactions. Either really mad or just disappointed. So, thanks for the email. So, as we all know, a bunch of stuff has been going on in here recently in the just different parts of the country. In Chicago, they released that video of the young McDonald kid who was shot 16 times by a police officer. I saw that video. It was pretty sick. Pretty sad. And I understand he wasn't complying. He had a weapon. I get it. I totally understand. But it's just, you know the saying, you brought a knife to a gunfight. And that's what it was. I didn't see him going after anybody. No, he wasn't listening. But I would think that a bunch of dudes with guns could get somebody to put down a knife without having to shoot somebody, especially if they're not coming after you. You know, I just feel like these guys try to, I understand you want to resolve problems in a timely manner, but I just feel like you can resolve that without shooting somebody, man. He's literally outgunned, you know. Is there like a time limit? It seems like it's like, all right, man, we got lunch in 15 minutes. We're supposed to be meeting at Quaker Steak and Lube for wings. Hurry up, shoot this motherfucker so we can get there on time. I want to be the first one at the buffet. I mean, it seems like there's just no time to taken out to try to problem solve. It's just like, all right, he won't put it down. Let's just shoot him. It's sad. And now there's a bunch of protests. They're calling for the head of the mayor. The police chief has already been let go, or he quit, or he's just no longer in charge. They're making a lot of demands. They pretty much want an entire overhaul of the Chicago Police Department. Investigations. They want all that kind of stuff. And unfortunately, most of the country just don't take these protests seriously. As much as I hate to say it, it's just they're using black-on-black statistics, crime stats, against us. Almost as justification for white police officers shooting black people. It's just like, hey, look, y'all obviously don't care. When black people kill black people, why do you care when these white officers kill black people? That's sad. One has nothing to do with the other. You're holding a group of thug criminals, lowlifes, to the same level of responsibility or integrity of a police officer, and that's not right. But I feel like until we can get those murder numbers down in Chicago, no one will take it seriously. They're always going to use it as an excuse when we complain about police brutality. They're always going to throw that back in our face. It's like, we have to cut that shit in half. We got to get rid of 75% of it. We got to cut that down by at least 75%. In a perfect world, I wouldn't want no murders. That way, when the shit goes down, when you go to complain, there's nothing they can yell back at you when you're protesting. Or when you go before city councils or city leadership or politicians, there's nothing they can say. There's nothing they can say. You can, at that point, you would just know that they just truly don't care about you based on your race. You can't give them any ammo. And unfortunately, all the deaths and all the murders and all the violence that goes on in Chicago is used as ammo against us, and no one will fucking pay attention. And it's disgusting. It's sad. And then last week, we also had that Planned Parenthood shooting that happened in Colorado Springs. Horrific. Terrible. Three people killed, police officer. And I can't believe there are people who are actually applauding this guy, because they felt like it was God's will that the people who murdered babies are now being murdered. And I'm willing to bet the same people are the same people who are always talking about Blue Lives Matter. You know, why are cops being demonized? And now all of a sudden this guy goes in because they're anti-abortion. They think it's cool that this guy is going in killing people. Now, I wonder if those same people who are applauding this shooter, if this dude was Muslim and he was saying the same thing, like no more baby parts, would they still applaud him? or because this guy was, you know, apparently a Christian, it was okay. I feel like that's a fair question to ask. How would they feel if this was a Muslim dude who felt the same way about abortion and about Planned Parenthood? Would they be okay with this, or would they want to consider that a terrorist attack on America? And the funny thing is, this wasn't considered a terrorist attack, even though this dude was basically, it's basically almost a textbook definition of terrorism. You know, just doing stuff like this to push your political agenda, killing people. I want to say terrorizing, but I don't like to use the word in the definition. Basically trying to intimidate through use of force and violence to push your political views or religious views. That's terrorism. But nope, it's just some crazy dude with wild hair, man, who was just lone wolf and just a loner weirdo. And then last night, of course, we had yet another mass shooting where 14 people were killed. And San Bernardino, California. And that's just unbelievable, man. Unbelievable. I was glued to my TV like everybody else. And I really got to thinking. And I was like, you know what? After they... First of all, they couldn't wait to get the number. It's, you know, that's with any tragedy. They really want to get that number to I don't know if it's the shock. I don't even know what the correct word is, but they want that number. How many dead? It's like they can't wait to report that. You know. And once that number came out, I was like, man, it's 14 people. It's a lot of people, man. It sucks. And then I was thinking more, and I'm like, you know what? No one really cares about these people that just died. Most of us don't really care. You know, it's just people glued to their TVs just to see what color or what religion the perpetrators, the murderers were. You know, you got people waiting to see if they're black, white, Muslim, you know. If they're going to, you know, we're all banking on it being somebody so you can go, we can all go, see, I told you. Yes. Like they won somehow. Like Republicans just waiting that it's, you know, hoping that it's some Muslim person. You know, liberals hoping it's some crazy white dude. Brown people hoping it's not another one of them. And black people like, yeah, this definitely ain't a black person doing this shit. You know, just so in the end we can push our views. You know, so we can reinforce our bigoted thoughts, our racist thoughts, you know, to reinforce that the fact that we shouldn't let these refugees in, the fact that we got to, you know, people trying to say we got to get rid of guns. It's like no one cares about the 14 people that just lost their lives, man. It's just 14 more pawns that they can use to get what they want. And the fact that it happens during this time of year is even worse to me. Family's got to deal with that. You know, you just had Thanksgiving. Ugh, it's awful. And now I'm noticing a trend on social media, and I'm sure everybody else has seen it. You know, the thoughts and prayers. And people are like, thoughts and prayers don't do anything. It's like, I get it. It really doesn't do anything by saying my thoughts and prayers go out. It doesn't. You're right. But what are you supposed to say at a time like this to people? What are you supposed to say when people are facing tragedy? You have to say something. So if you're one of these super anti thoughts and prayers people, please let us know what's the appropriate response when you're watching a tragedy unfold from from like, what, almost 2,000 miles away in some cases, depending on where you live at. What are you supposed to say? I see you, bruh. I mean, which you're trying to let people know that you're thinking that you care about them. I don't know, man. It's just like, it's funny when it comes to social media. Everybody accuses everybody else of being like a social media warrior or something like that. And it's like, we all do it. We all do something annoying on social media. We all do. Oh, man. One thing that really, really got me when I was watching that, and I watched it all day yesterday, because I just feel guilty watching anything else when I know that people are going through something like that. I just feel terrible. But I noticed something. It's like a men and women thing. They were interviewing a lot of, I can't say a lot. Well, they interviewed a few people's family members who were who had people that were trapped in that building when this whole altercation or event was going down. And they spoke to a couple dads who had, you know, kids in there. And this one dude, his daughter was in there. And this reporter's just asking all these questions and stuff. And this guy's voice cracks so bad. And he just wouldn't cry on camera. And I'm like, see, that's the tough thing about being a man and a dad. It's just like this dude feels like he has to keep it together where so that people don't see him cry because he's scared for his baby girl in there. You know? He's trying to keep it together. That's like, that's a fucked up thing about being a dude. It's just like, he felt like, man, if I break down on this camera right now, people are going to look at me like, oh, this dude's weak. This dude's weak. It's like, we can't even cry at a time like that where his daughter sends him a text like, hey, there's a shooter in here. Pray for us. And I'm pretty sure in his mind, all those memories that, you know, that I'm gathering right now with my son are going through his head. Maybe there might be some memories of some arguments that they had where he's like, oh, my God, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have did this. Did I spend enough time with my girl? I never thought this would have happened. You know, did I say I love you enough? And it's just like, but he's like, all right, I know all this is going through your mind, man, but you can't cry. You're a man. You got to keep it together. And it was just hard to see this dude. And I wanted to be like, dude, just let it go. It's okay. But that's the tough part about being a dude, man. People won't allow us to even cry. And then I see a guy with his wife. And his wife is bawling her eyes out. And he's just standing there just trying to hold it together, man. And that sucks for dudes. That sucks. That's horrible. Because I know me, man, I will cry in a heartbeat. It takes a lot for me to cry. But when I do, it's coming out. And it's just not like a trickle. I'm like an ugly face crier. That's what kills me about, like, I guess I can transition into something that's less morbid, I guess. That's why I think it's funny how women are like, oh, you know, we're so much stronger than men. We It's like, that's because you're allowed to vent. It's like you're allowed to cry. You're allowed to emote. Like if life was an Olympic-sized pool, men are told you have to get to that end underwater without coming up. Go. Women are like, go ahead, here's some arm floaties. You can come up for air anytime you feel like it. And here we are as guys swimming underwater, and all this shit happens to us. Family dies, you lose your job, you know, you get married. Now you get married, now you got your wife clinging to your arm while you're underwater. You got kids, they're clinging to your arm and your legs and shit. You got bills piling up, that shit's on your back, and you can't ask for any help because you're a goddamn man. That's why so many of us die at a young age. You look out of that pool, it's just bodies of dudes just floating. Just sitting there floating. Only a few of us make it to a really old age, and you finally get over there and hear some woman with her fucking elbows up on the side. She's got her goggles pushed up like, you pussy. And here this guy finally come up from underneath the water, gasp him for air, and it's like, you're weak. It's like, dude, I had to try to make it without crying, yelling, showing any emotion at all. I couldn't come up for any air at all. That one piece of air. I don't even know what you call air. Not even a sip of air. I did it the hard way. You came up for air every time you even felt like it was getting tough. That's my mini rant for the week, folks. Thank you so much for being here. Enjoy the rest of the show. Enjoy your headliner. That's always fun to say. But all right, there's a show. That's a show. You guys, nothing, no holidays yet. But enjoy the holiday season. Get your trees up. Go get your trees. Put your lights up. Be safe. And that's it. Peace out. Thanks.